Hello. Welcome to Mood Swings. I've decided that whilst we're in lockdown, I'm going to go overboard, possibly, on the podcast and try and put out at least three in a week. I might even end up putting out more, but at the moment I'm going to try and put out one every Monday, Wednesday and Friday, so there's plenty for you to listen to whilst there's not much to do. And also, it's kind of, I suppose, easier on my end to arrange interviews because everyone, I mean, no one's got any excuse not to talk to me. They're literally doing nothing. They're literally just sitting in their homes. So it's really easy for me to arrange interviews because no one can refuse, in theory. Although I'm sure some people will. I mean, it comes with the territory. But anyway, this is the first one. It's with Nicola Harkins, who's a good pal of mine and has been on the podcast before. We had a couple of drinks via Skype and recorded this for you. There's also interjections from Nicola's husband, Colin, which I quite enjoyed, to be honest. They were pretty funny. So if you hear a voice shouting throughout, it's Colin. I think there's a little bit of background noise, but overall, I was pretty happy with the quality of the Skype call. There wasn't really any interruptions or anything in terms of with signal, so I've left it unedited. It's there for you. Obviously, we're mostly talking about coronavirus-related stuff. So I don't know if you're lucky enough to be listening to this in 6 or 8 weeks, however long, and coronavirus, well, I suppose in that time it won't be a distant memory. Say 6 months from now if you're listening to this because you're catching up on episodes and the coronavirus is a distant memory, this might just be a stark reminder of a moodier and less happy time. So it's up to you whether you listen to it or not. It's a nice thought people would be still listening to these episodes in a few months' time. But yeah. It's very much to do with current events, so, and the rest of these that I do will mostly be about coronavirus. I've got a few more people lined up. Currently, everyone that I'm going to have on has been on Mood Swings before, so you should know them if you've listened to all the episodes. I might get on some people that haven't been on before, but I'm quite keen to keep them mostly coronavirus chat. I just think it'll be hard to do conversations about. So, for instance, if I had someone on that was a poet or a musician, it'd be hard to speak about their own work and about, you know, any mental health issues or any mental health conversation we want to have around that would be quite difficult to do unencumbered by coronavirus stuff. I just think at the moment, everyone's quite fixated on it. I know maybe you shouldn't say I should be doing podcasts away from that stuff to try and get people's minds off it, which is a totally relevant point, but I don't know. I feel I kind of want to capture some of what's going on just now because it's kind of uncharted territory for us all, so it's kind of interesting for me to document, and I think it is good to discuss it and discuss issues around it, especially with mental health, and discuss how we're all feeling because it's really strange, and I think I've been surprised by how I felt. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but yeah, like, mostly I've been kind of enjoying it, and it's given me a lot of time to do the things that I like to do and go out for runs and spend a lot of time with my girlfriend, which has been great, and I love to cook, so plenty of time to cook nice meals, and then time to do podcasts and stuff, which has been good, but also there has been moments. There was one afternoon I just got really quite emotional, totally out of the blue. It just felt really like kind of the weight of it all really on top of me. And it kind of came out of nowhere. That was quite surprising. So yeah, it's a strange time because you kind of can relax and to a certain degree, but I suppose the cause of that is what is the thing that causes the distress. Anyway, I'm going to just let you go to the episode. This should be Monday this is coming out. I'm recording this ahead of time. So the next one will be Wednesday and then Friday, I think, is how I'm going to do this. But keep an eye on your feeds in case I stick out anymore. If you look at my social media, you'll see me posting loads of shite. That's probably the negative thing about for everyone else that this coronavirus stuff, given us plenty of time, is done. I just post endless shite on Instagram now. So, yeah, keep an eye out there if you want to see me post stupid shit at Mood Swings Abs ABZ at Mood Swings ABZ. Thank you all as always for listening and enjoy this, and I'll be back at the end. Cheers.
Nathan, I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you adjusting to quarantine?
Yeah, it's weird. Missing being at work, but also enjoying the recharge.
Yeah. So as a quick reminder, why don't you remind everyone what you do for work?
So currently I work at Banksiddy Gym in Spain Park and Abbotswell Road in Aberdeen, and I rent a room there, and I'm a bodywork therapist. So started out with sports massage, now do a lot of kinetic chain release, a lot of fascial work, and I've recently just moved into applied movement neurology. So yeah, I'm missing my clients, I'm missing connecting with people, but you know, it's nice to be at home, spend time with my husband, spend time with my dog, drink some red wine.
Did your jarry red arrive?
Yes, today. This is why I'm in such a good mood. So anybody that knows me and my husband, we absolutely love Yellowtail Jammy Red Roux. So if there's anybody listening to this that works for Yellowtail or is connected in any way, I am more than happy to promote your product. Just send me your stuff.
What number Jammy Red is that you're on today, or you're not willing to disclose?
Oh, no. This is only my first one. I knew I had to do this. Yeah. It's only 10 to 7, and I don't know how many weeks of lockdown we're on, so, you know.
Yeah. How strong is Jammy Red? Is it a strong red wine, or is it?
No, it's not. Colin, how strong is Jammy Red? You told me this the other day. It's quite weak, 12%?
12,
yeah. Right, whereas like, Barefoot or some of the other junk that they sell in the spa, sorry, Barefoot, it was like 14 and a half.
Yeah.
So that's probably why I go through so many bottles.
Because it's low. Yeah. You're not fooling anyone with that one. It's still 12% is still fucking a hefty tipple.
Yeah.
Wow. So.
But, you know, the other week I did drink a bottle and a half and went to double spin on the Saturday morning and still smashed out a double spin. So it's obviously God's nectar.
I'll take it.
I'm not promoting alcohol consumption in any way here, by the way.
I think you are. How long have you been in lockdown for?
I was at work on Friday. So, yeah, a week.
A week.
Yeah, Saturday was pretty emotional. Not going to lie, it was very weird. And although 100% I agree with everything, you know, that's going on, I think it's when you do love what you do as a job, it's very difficult not to be able to do it. I also think that there's an element of, I don't know, freedom and liberty, right? It's a different subject for everybody. But do I think that people should be staying at home? Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Were you surprised with the timing of it? Did you think it was going to take longer? Did you think it should have been in place sooner?
Oh, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. These are kind of political questions, and I don't know. It does seem strange that we didn't follow the rest of Europe, but I think everything that is happening, we don't maybe really know exactly why or what's going on. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I watched a video that said that you kind of have to wait for the right time to start the lockdown, the quarantine, because if you do it too early, then It's an effect.
Yeah, it's all to do with the curve. Yeah.
We start to, and also that you can only like a lockdown. You can only really like if you do it too early, it's not effective. Then trying to do a second lockdown apparently, it like would be very difficult because people just wouldn't have it.
That's very true, because I think a lot of people are struggling right now, and it's funny. I think it was the guy that owns Valentine's Gyms. He was coming under, you know, so much criticism, shock, because that's what social media is just criticism and he was saying, listen, you know, I've got all these staff, and if I shut the gym too early, then I wouldn't be able to pay them for the full amount of time. So if I wait until the government says, one, he gets the insurance money, but two, he's maybe got more money in the bank.
Yeah.
So, I think having to do it at a certain time. I mean, I'm not a microbiologist, right? Like, let's face it.
I think it's been quite interesting to see, like, how things have weighed up in terms of the economy and businesses versus, like, what's best for people and individuals.
Totally.
Such a wide scale.
Yeah, it's I mean, as being self-employed myself, everyone's going to be an individual, right? You know, like everyone's got different circumstances. I think the main thing is just not to give in to the fear. And just go with the uncertainty. Like, just going to have to embrace it. You know, if you're somebody that likes to be in control all the time, this is maybe the time that you have to let go of that. And that's something you work on. I'm not saying that the financial matters of anybody it's no joke. It's really not. I've got a lot of friends, you know, they don't have a partner that works. Or for some reason, you know, everyone's got different financial circumstances, but certainly for small sole traders like myself, it is a difficult time. Bigger businesses are going to be fine, you know, because they'll get an awful lot of help with the government, and they'll be able to help pay their staff. And I mean, what a burden that must be is, you know, to actually have staff members that you have to worry about. Like, that's like a whole different ball game, because, you know, what are you going to do? It's so hard. But yeah, it's, I'm kind of just wishing I didn't buy that caravan in February now, right?
But I mean, don't you love the caravan? Before all this kicked off, you were telling me how much you
loved it. Was actually supposed to be in Fort William, like right now. Fort William, looking up at the Glen with my jammy red.
Yeah.
Listening to Colin's jokes, dog rolling about in the grass, like, you know, but hey.
Yeah. Did you see an appeal to people, I suppose, not to go and like live 100, in
there. Oh my god, yeah. And because there was just such this like influx from like London, you know, into the Lake District, or people heading to the Highlands, and it did actually cross before this went like really mad. We did actually think, hey, well, we'll just get away in the caravan. But then Colin's got Twitter. I don't have Twitter. And he was just like, oh my god, this is getting a bit out of order. Like, there's heaps of people. Because, you know, we obviously think that we're being so original, right? And obviously not. And everyone's just got the same idea. But we were thinking, well, you know, we'll have our case of jammy red and all of our food and our dog food, and we don't have to go anywhere near any shops. But then I was like, well, do you know what? But it still looks bad. It still just looks bad. Yeah. Car will be getting egged as we're, you know, driving up towards Fort William or Aviemore or whatever. So even before the campsites shut down, we just took the decision, just, you know, just stay home.
It's funny what you say about everyone having the same idea, because last weekend, like, I think there was like record numbers at Snowdonia and all these kind of like hill walks. And I went to Benihee myself, so I'm not blameless. It was absolutely rammed.
But that's not far, Nath. That's Benihee's not far, like.
No. But it was absolutely heaving. Like, there was so many people.
And I
didn't feel like people at that stage. I didn't feel like people were taking it seriously. So that's less than a week ago.
Yeah, and we went to Scotland Saturday, I think. Mainly because I felt I just had to be somewhere out in the fresh air and just away from people. But that was the wrong place to go, because it was probably more full of people than my street was full of people. So
yeah, it was like the same. Like Benihi was absolutely rammed. Mostly, I know this because the whole time we were going up and down, I needed to piss really bad. And I just couldn't, like, I couldn't get...
You couldn't find a private spot?
No, there was no private spots. It was agonizing. I couldn't enjoy the walk at all because I needed to pee so bad.
But there's toilets at the bottom and, like, at both sides.
Well, we just went up and down the same way, but I went before I left, but I've got a terrible bladder.
Yeah, well, it's like, well, it's probably like me, probably a nervous bladder. I thought that was just my age, but, yeah, it's...
No, it's been going on since I was about 12, so... Yeah.
Anytime you get out of a car, right? Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. So what were people, you went out for a run today, so what were people like when you were out for a run?
It's quite solemn in town. Like, everyone's kind of very quiet. Obviously, people are only in kind of twos or then maybe threes or fours if it's, like, families with kids. But you don't obviously just see anyone congregating in groups. It was quite strange. Just at the end of my run, I saw a friend of mine, Amber, and normally I would always stop and speak to her if I saw her out and about. And then I saw her and I was like, I don't know whether I should stop and speak, like, because I don't know whether...
This is a problem, right?
But I mean, I was pretty gassed from the run, so I just went inside and said, fuck it.
Yeah, this is a difficulty. And to be honest with you, I'm really... Throughout all of this, I think we have to remember who we are. And we are people who connect. Mm-hmm. And I think this is teaching us that we have to still do that. So, you know, if you have to shout across the street and have a conversation across the street, even if it's just for 2 minutes, we still have to do that. Because from what I've seen, especially today, it has really bothered me. Like, it scared me, actually. And it's the fact that people won't make eye contact.
Yeah.
You know, and is this what we're going to become? Is that we completely disconnect from even smiling and making eye contact with people? So what does that lead to? And yeah, that really, really concerns me. However, what did really cheer me up today was I read on FUBAR, they were talking about, you know, people making unnecessary journeys and, you know, going to shops for unnecessary items. And apparently somebody was in to buy fake tan. And I just thought, listen, Hen, you're not going anywhere. What didn't you put your fake tan on for? Like, I thought that was brilliant that people are still trying to, like, keep up appearances while under isolation.
Yeah. I've seen quite a few people on Instagram and stuff saying that, like, I think after about 4 or 5 days or a week of being in isolation and just living in their pajamas, that they're now making an effort to make sure they get up and get, like, dressed properly.
Yeah, that is true. Day. Yeah, that is true.
I can totally relate to that just from even just from fighting. Like, when you're training for a fight, all you do is live in, like, gym clothes or your work clothes, and then you're never ever kind of, like, getting proper, like, dressed up. And, like, whenever I get a chance when I'm in, like, training for a fight, if I'm going to meet somebody for lunch, it's like, as if I'm going for a big night out. Like, I'm fucking a big shower and...
No, that's good. No, that is.
I totally get that feeling that people have where you feel like if you're not once in a while putting on, like, a decent set of clothes and going out, how it can feel really odd and kind of, like...
I mean, a friend of mine did message me on Sunday saying that she'd put on a full face of makeup just so she would feel normal. You know? And I get that. You know, she's only going out to walk the dog, but she still wants to put her makeup on. So, yeah, I do get that. I just thought that was quite funny on FUBAR when... But again, it's all about judgment, right? And I think, again, that's a big lesson that we can learn from this, especially because people are spending so much more time in social media than maybe they would normally because they're busier at work. And especially, you know, on some of these sites where people are coming together to try and help the community, which is amazing. Some of this stuff is so heartwarming. But I am seeing quite a lot of judgment. And judgment obviously comes from fear, you know. You can see where it's coming from. But again, it's contagious. So
do you mean, like, judgment of people, like, out and about, not who maybe are perceived to not be
doing what they've been told. Yeah, I mean, there was that Aberdeen Helping Hands, which is, you know, a lovely page, and you can see the community really coming together, which is so important at this time. But at the same time, somebody will post something, and then next thing, people are jumping on the back of it, criticising it, judging it. Why are you asking for this? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And yeah, I do see people's points, but at the same time, when people are already a little bit panicked, a little bit, you know, fear and anxious, nobody wants to be jumped, you know, well, nobody wants to be jumped on social media at the best of times, let alone at this time. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. And again, it's a bit like being seen outside, you know. I keep waiting for somebody to stop me going, how many times you walk Crixus a day? Is this your first?
Fiona told me apparently...
Or your second?
Fiona told me people apparently have been stopped in like cars and stuff and asked if where they're going, like what the purpose of their journey was. Yeah. I don't know if that's true, but she said
true. Yeah. I've got a lot of friends down in Glasgow, Lanarkshire, Falkirk. It's definitely a thing. I just think that we haven't seen it maybe as much here yet.
Okay. But apparently in Glasgow it's worse.
Yeah, well, in Airdrie the other day, people, the police were out. A friend of mine, she stays down there, and she works in the city centre, and she was saying folk are getting stopped. I don't know if anyone's been getting a fine yet, but just before I come on this to you, I saw on the news a police on a bicycle was like screaming at somebody, go home now, go home now.
Oh, really?
It was pretty... Yeah, it wasn't nice.
I don't know if they've passed the legislation yet to bring in the fines.
I just think it's difficult because there's an awful lot of people with mental health problems. And I don't mean, I just mean people that, they don't maybe understand what's going on, really.
Yeah.
You know, and have police screaming in your face. It's you know, I don't know, it just doesn't sit well with me. But I understand why they have to do it. I totally get it. But I just think there's a lot of vulnerable people out there that just, you know, they might not be in the same page, you know. So to have somebody from an authoritarian figure to come up and start screaming in their face, it just, I don't know, it's hard. It is hard. I think there's a lot more people being affected in this than just not being able to go to the spa and buy a bottle of wine. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I think, like, you were talking to me before about, like, people who, you know, don't have a great home life and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's in my heart, definitely, 100%, you know. Last night I was so lucky, probably the best thing that's come out of this for me personally is my best friend's daughter who's 9, so her sister who's 12 is my goddaughter, but her sister is 9, so obviously I'm still cool, right, because I'm not cool to 11, my goddaughter's 11, so I'm not cool to her anymore, but the sister, you know, she still thinks I'm cool. So I faced WhatsApped, video called her, and she was doing her homework. This is like 7:30 at night, right? This is how conscientious this wee girl is. And she's like, oh, do you want to read my story? And then this is the story I have to write, and then I have to then follow on from it. Will you help me? And I was like, yeah, cool. So I'm like reading all the bits that she's done, just thinking, how fucking amazing is this wee girl? Like, how magical and strong-spirited and intelligent and beautiful is this wee girl? And I knew that anyway, but to actually just see the level that she's at right now at being 9 years old was just something so special. Yeah. And, you know, if it wasn't for this virus and isolation, I would never have seen that. You know, well, she's in Glasgow, obviously I'm up here. She's got a very good mum and dad, very good family. They are very much loved. They are very much protected. They can survive this. However, I would say that any child, even if they are in a safe environment or a safe home, they will feed off the parents' panic. They will listen to everything. So I do think there is a, well, for me, there is a big concern that in 10, 15 years' time, we're going to have a whole heap of children that have got OCD, washing their hands, maybe panic every time the news comes on, panic every time they get sick, which will then lead to a lot of anxiety. But then obviously with the schools being shut, you then do have a lot of vulnerable children that are at risk, even at more at risk than what they normally would. And somebody was telling me the other day that all the hot meals that have been made for these vulnerable children are not getting picked up. And I was like, well, of course they're not getting picked up, because if they're vulnerable, they're vulnerable for a reason. So why would the meals be getting picked up? Like, it just didn't make sense. So yeah. I do think that people maybe have to be a bit more aware of what's going on. And again, without judgment, 100% without judgment. So if they do need to do something, then they need to do it, you know? Can I just ask, are you drinking two drinks there or just one?
Two.
You're not in the pub.
I know, but what's wrong with having two drinks? I mean, I knew I wanted to have a rum and coke, because that's what I was in the mood for. But I knew that if I had a rum and coke, I'd fly through it. So I thought I'd better have a beer as well, just to try and do the distance.
Or just get pished quicker. Yeah.
It's a Friday.
What's Fiona? No, it's not Friday. It's just any old day, right? Because we are in any old day. What's Fiona doing?
Well, right now, I think she's reading her book.
What's she reading?
The Louis Theroux autobiography, I think.
What are you reading right now?
The Anthony Bourdain book, one of his. What are you reading just now?
I'm not actually reading anything just now because I'm drinking too much wine at night.
Yeah. How do you feel about apocalypse drinking, as I've started to call it?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Just there seems to be, everyone seems to have, myself included, a sort of sense that you can just kind of get on it as much as you want because the world's gone crazy. So
no, I do have a rule. I do have a rule that as soon as this week's finished, then yeah, the drinking has to kind of stop. I did have an apocalypse pizza last week because I don't eat bread. For lots of different reasons. So yeah, Colin, Mr. Harkins, made an absolutely amazing pizza. So I said I wasn't going to have any, and I had a whole one to myself. So yeah.
Deserved, I think.
But he is a chef. He is the cook and the chef. He's better than Jamie Oliver.
Jamie Oliver is a chef.
I knew you'd say that.
I didn't catch it. What did he say?
He said, Jamie Oliver's just a cook. He's not a chef.
Oh.
Me and Jamie Oliver have got the same amount of Michelin stars.
The Colin says it. Him and Jamie Oliver have got the same amount of Michelin stars. So it puts them on the same par.
Shots fired to Jamie Oliver.
Sorry, Jamie.
I mean, before I got into Anthony Bourdain, my favourite celebrity chef was always Gordon Ramsay, but then...
Oh, don't even... Listen... Don't even start calling on Gordon Ramsay, right? You need to remember, so on Saturday when I was feeling a tad emotional and helpless and just a bit shit about what was going on in the world. Thank you.
A bottle of wine just went across the webcam just for everyone wondering why I laughed there.
And I was just feeling helpless because... When I left the gym, you know, obviously I worked at the combat centre for 3.5 years, and I mean, I still miss it. The first month that I left the combat centre was very, very difficult for me, very difficult. From a business perspective, it was the right move, but on a personal perspective, I found it very difficult. But being at the Banks of Dee, it's a different type of gym, right? It's totally different. But actually seeing how close they are, it's not a business, it's an actual family, which for normal kind of gyms in this day and age, you don't normally see, right? There's a lot of bitchiness, yeah. And there's a lot of this and there's a lot of that. Banks a day, I actually, you know, I don't see that much. I really don't. And on Friday, it was just really difficult to see the staff being so upset, not only because they're worried about their livelihood or their jobs or their income, but just because they're not going to see each other every day. Yeah. Like, and that... Friday night when I left the gym, obviously, and I took away some of my stuff because I thought, well, maybe I might be able to do something else, or I don't know, right? So, and then Saturday, I woke up just feeling quite doom and gloom, but still just very much concerned about them. Like, I'm concerned for my clients because I thought, oh God, there's going to be heaps of people in pain and they can't get help. And then actually I got a message. I don't know if I told you this. I got a message randomly from somebody I don't even know, a physio I don't even know, offering me a room. And
oh, really?
Yeah, totally. Honestly, it was amazing. So went to meet her. She had her own premises. So obviously it wasn't governed under the gym rule or whatever else. She's like, you know, I've got my own place. The other people that work here, they're away to go and do other things. So, you know, if you want the room, it's yours. You can have it as many days as you want. Like, we can just see what happens. And she said to me, and we don't know how long this is going to go on for, if you can work here for a week or 3 weeks or a month or 12 weeks. She went, so I'm not going to charge any rent. And that is why I love humans, right? And I said, no, can't be having that. Like, you know, yeah. That's... really no she's like, no, absolutely not. She says, don't worry about it, we can sort all that out later, we're all in this together. And I just, you know, I want you to be able to see your clients, and you know, she says, I want to be able to see my clients and help them be pain-free and whatever else. I was so touched by that, and honestly just so overwhelmed that I thought, God, that's, you know, so when I got in the car with Colin, I was, yeah, and the rest of that day I was just really emotional. So then I got an email through from my governing body saying, look, you can't, it doesn't matter whether you work from home, doesn't matter where you work, you just can't work. Like, you're not insured, okay. It's not right, and it isn't right, right? It doesn't matter how good your immunity is, doesn't matter how clean you are, doesn't matter how many times you wash yourself and fucking bleach or whatever. Just stop. And I was like, well, that's it. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was feeling really, really low, probably just because of the uncertainty. And Mr. Harkins, who is my evermost rock and grounding force, turns around and says, Nicola, it gets better after week 3. Remember, I've been practicing this since January. So what he means by that is he broke his leg in January and literally was stuck in the house for 8 weeks, like completely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he always brings a bit of rationale to the table. That's and a bottle insane. Of wine, obviously.
Yeah. If you've seen that Fierce Beer have still been opening on Saturdays, as a takeaway service.
No, I didn't know that. Have you tried their gin?
No.
Their gin is very good.
I don't need to try any more of their stuff. I'm already spending far too much in there.
Anyway, so again, Fierce Beer, if you're listening to this and you want to donate a bottle of Kiefer Lime gin to Nicola Harkins at Body Connect, I am more than happy to accept, and I will go on promoting your product.
Well, I was quite upset last week because I went in there just to get a couple of things and end up spending, I think, like £18 on a few beers. And then I got home, and I don't normally drink like porters or heavy beers, but I bought the Chipotle porter just to see what it was like.
And what was that like?
It was brilliant, and that's what's made me so sad, is now that I've got full faith that anything they would make, I'd probably enjoy.
Did you try that the concoction? Remember I met you in there that night before you went to the cinema?
I think I tried it.
Yeah, that's good.
What was the concoction?
It's a secret one, and I can't remember, but it's raspberry and I think number 5 maybe.
Okay.
They keep saying it's a secret, but then when I go in and say, can I have the concoction, they're like, oh yeah, the raspberry and whatever, and I'm like, yeah, that's it. So it's not that much of a secret.
Last week they were doing like takeaway drafts. I got like a few bottles from them off the tap, which is good.
I'm glad I've got my jammy red. I was very excited today when the guy, when the delivery man came. I think he's a bit scared of Corona, because he didn't even laugh when I started gleefully shouting at him, oh my God, you don't know how happy you've made me.
Did he have a mask on?
No, he didn't have a mask on. I did see somebody at Costco the other day though, and yeah, suited and booted. But again, comes down to judgment. Because if we see people with masks on and the whole paraphernalia, we shouldn't be judging, because we don't know, like, are they shopping for the food bank? Are they nurses? Like who are they? Like, so yeah, again, judgment comes from fear, right? So as soon as people are scared, they will start judging, and it's not nice. It really isn't. This whole situation, there's good things that can be taken away from it, and there's very bad things. And I think it's important for as humans that we take the good things and just remember to be compassionate and smile at people in the street and not cover it. Like I was out on my mountain bike today, you know, allowed outside exercise time. And there was a couple walking along the path, which is also a cycle path. And, you know, from a distance, we were like, excuse me, because I don't have a bell. I'm sorry, I don't have a bell. I refuse to have a bell on my bike. And the woman actually was just so fearful when we went past. She looked down at the pavement. She covered her face with her jacket-like collar.
Really?
Yeah, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And I just really hope that we do not continue in this I don't even know if I'm going to get this word right. No, I'm not even going to try it. I know what I'm trying to say in my head. Yeah, it's just, people have to follow the rules, right? But we don't have to conform to the fear.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I actually think
the media, given this whole thing, hasn't been too bad. There's been quite a lot of focus on the good side of things. Well, stuff that I look at, I just kind of mainly look at BBC News. I don't know if it's a good source or not, but there's been a lot on there about kind of like some positives to take and stuff about how to look after your own mental health. And they've had like experts from Anxiety UK and stuff on there speaking. So I think it's not been as much of a fear campaign as there sometimes is with things.
I don't think that BBC News has to do very much though, Nath, because I think Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram does it all for us.
True.
As I now say all the time, especially when I'm speaking to my clients, this is just my opinion. It is not the truth, nor is it a fact. Right? And I actually would like to see anytime somebody posts anything to any social media platform, before they decide to give their opinion, I think it would be much better if they said, this is my opinion, it is neither a truth nor a fact. And I think it would stop.
At least state what their PhD is in.
Or this concept, state what your PhD is in. I think it would really stop a lot of scaremongering. I think it would also stop just people being dicks, to be honest with you. I saw something today on social media, and I'm really trying not, I'm trying to stay within my heart and stay within a place of love for everybody, and just send love to everybody I come in contact with, everybody I think about, and just really, you know, be in that heart space. But somebody put up a meme a day, and it was about self-employed people and, you know, this new rules about being able to get money back from the government.
Yeah.
And it was something like, what you have claimed is on your tax return actually is you know, say 15 grand or something, but actually your income was like 40 or whatever. And I thought, that's a bit shit. That is, and you know, because I've always been honest in my tax returns, and you know, I changed from being in corporate culture and earning a shitload of money to actually just doing something that gave me purpose in life. And I don't earn a lot of money, and plus I'm very relatively new at this, so I'm still, the investment that I've put into it, you know, my tax returns are not, I definitely don't earn 40 grand a year, that's for sure. Also, the fact that you can't claim any of this money back until June, God damn it, man. I hope that I'm bloody back working before then and I don't have to claim anything, you know? Yeah. So, but again, my point is, I've judged them for putting that up and I shouldn't have.
What do you find so damaging about judgment?
Because it comes from fear.
Okay.
Comes from fear. There's only two emotions in life, right? And that's love and fear. So everything...
Have you seen Donnie Darko?
No.
Never seen Donnie Darko?
There's, you keep a guy... asking me if I've watched all these weird films.
Well, Donnie Darko, there's the... is it Steven Seagal plays a guy... who comes to the school and tries to speak to them all and tells them there's only two emotions called fear and love. And then Donnie burns his house down and it turns out he was a paedophile.
Oh, fuck's sake!
That's the only time I've heard the fear and love thing before is in Donnie Darko. That's why I always bring it up.
Oh my god! Well, I'm not watching it now if it involves a paedophile. Sorry.
It's a very small kind of subplot.
Anyway...
Yeah.
But it's true. If you want to drill down, you know, joy, elation, you know, all these things come from love. Anger, judgment, criticism, bitterness, all comes from fear. This is getting a bit too like heavy, but what I would say is a lot of people are fearful that one, they're not good enough or they're not enough. They're not doing good enough. I don't know. For fear of the unknown, I don't know. Again, that's control. It's, I don't know. This is going a bit Brené Brown now, right? So
that's fine. I like her. But no, the fear of the unknown is quite interesting.
She is awesome.
She is. But like fear of the unknown thing, I think is quite interesting because no one really knows what's going to happen from this. It's quite interesting. Like you were saying, you hope that people don't become paranoid and you say what you've seen those people out today.
Yeah.
But then other horrible. People, hopefully other people, I think other people are speculating that maybe after this that people will be a bit nicer and...
100%. Yeah. And you know, this is another thing. Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, you're right.
So for example, again, somebody like me that's self-employed, you know, you actually have to step back and go, okay, what do I need? I mean, well, Colin and I have been in this position numerous times in the last couple of years because he's lost his job before and now, you know, obviously broke his leg and our income has dropped and whatever else. So I would say that actually we're actually in a very fortunate position where we do understand what matters and what doesn't matter. Materialism, I really feel that what's going on right now, this is a major thing. People need to understand, it doesn't matter if you've got the latest Q7 or a BMW 4 Series. I do have a BMW, by the way. You know, it doesn't matter if you've got a converted stead in the middle of nowhere or you live in Northfield. I live in Northfield in an ex-council house and I bloody love it because my neighbours are amazing. I do not like the helicopters going over my head constantly, mind you.
The weapon of choice in a zombie apocalypse would be a transit.
And, you know, as Colin has just stated there, in a zombie apocalypse, which we are maybe in at the moment, we don't know, a BMW is not going to get you very fucking far. You want a fucking transit that you can convert.
Fair.
You've got
your camper van, so you're all right.
No, I've got a caravan, which I have
to caravan.
And by the way, the windows are very accessible by zombies. But I'll come back to that with a funny story about Aviemore, but... at the end of the day, whether you've got £700 trainers on or a £5 pair of trainers on, are they going to help you run faster? Are they going to get you from A to B? No, they're not. You know, if you've got a big house or a little house, if you've got flooring that costs 10 grand or whether it costs £500 or whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters right now is what's in our hearts and how we treat other people. So materialism is coming to an end. And I think, I really hope that this is what people take from this, is it's how you treat each other, how good you are to your neighbours, and how you connect.
Yeah. I think there's been a bit of realisation about that in terms of the people that have, like, you know, that matter in this whole thing are, like, obviously the NHS, and then, like, supermarket staff, cleaners, they're the people that are still going to work because they're the people that really matter.
100%.
I have seen things on social media that people are saying, kind of like, you know, all these big high-paid oil and gas jobs where obviously in Aberdeen, like, don't really matter. They're all being told just to either work from home or stop working. But the people that, like, in supermarkets, cleaners, delivery drivers, etc., are all absolutely vital.
Do you know, when I still worked in the bank, I mean, I've always worked with people. I've always worked with the general public. And although my job in the bank didn't quite give me what I was looking for in life, I still got to connect with some really amazing people. And I remember interviewing I can't even remember what he was in for. It doesn't matter what he was in for. But he was a manager at Burger King on Union Street. And I was like, wow, that must be a hard job. What's that like for you? What does your day look like on a daily basis? In fact, what does your weekends look like? Because that's going to be your toughest time. And he's like, my staff mean the world to me. He says, and I'll tell you something. He says, I will not tolerate anybody speaking down to them. He says, because most of them are more highly educated than me. But besides that, they're human beings. And he says, and you know, so very often, he says, the thing that comes to my mind most was one Saturday night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Somebody came out from Seoul or some other place and came in and decided that they weren't working fast enough for them. And then started screaming, do you know who I am? Do you know how much I get paid? Who the fuck are you? You just fucking work in Burger King. So this guy, you know, this manager, he basically just flung him out and barred him, which was the right thing to do. But I don't think that your job title or how much money you have has got much to do with it. I think that some people just feel entitled. I do agree with you about the oil and gas, but at the same time, oil and gas, it does provide so much in Aberdeen. It provides. Yeah.
Just something specific I read on Facebook. Somebody said that, you know, these big oil and gas jobs, I suppose, me, just because that's the main industry or the main kind of big money industry in Aberdeen, that was why it was referenced. Obviously, oil and gas is vital, but I think the point was that, like, you know, people on, I suppose, lower paid jobs are.
Do you know what's going to be vital soon? Hydrogen.
Go on.
I'm just telling you because somebody told me that.
Okay, I don't.
Yeah, so, well, again, well, it's a whole green thing, you know, and it's funny. I see all these windmills and air turbines going up everywhere, and they themselves have caused so much pollution, third glass of wine, Nicola, pollution and upheaval for the planet. And yeah, this chap I was speaking to who works in oil and gas was telling me that he thinks the next 10 years they'll be redundant. But hey, again, this is hearsay, I don't know. But hydrogen apparently is the next big thing.
Fair.
So anyway, let me tell you about my story about Aviemore.
Okay, we'll do the story from Aviemore and then I've got a couple of questions and then I'll let you go.
Okay.
Enjoy your jammy red.
So we go to Aviemore with the caravan for the first time and pitch up, everything is great. Mr. Harkins is extremely good at this stuff. And I'm loving life, you know, we've got this beautiful view, the mountains with the snow on and everything's great. Anyway, so the next morning I go to walk Crixus and there's other like vans and stuff about, and I walk past this converted horse box and it's like matte green. There's obviously been a log burner like put inside. It's obviously been completely converted to be self-sufficient, right? And I'm walking past it, I'm seeing how high it is off the ground. I'm seeing that it's literally a lorry. And I think, that is what we need for the zombie apocalypse. This is exactly what we need. So I go back to the caravan and I say to Colin, listen, there's a van doing there. I honestly think we need one. And he's like, what, as well as a caravan? I went, no, instead. I'm like, because these zombies are getting in the windows. They're really high up. And he's like, what? No, don't be silly. What are you talking about? There's not going to be a zombie apocalypse. Well, last week, I says, I told you, we should have got that fucking horse box.
You think too much about the zombie apocalypse, I think.
Maybe.
Okay, so what was your reaction today when you heard that big Boris Johnson's got coronavirus?
Oh, Christ. I don't know if I can say that on a recording.
It's up to you.
Okay, I'll tell you one thing I thought. I wonder if he's got any symptoms. How is he actually going to get sick? Is he? Same as Charles, right? Charles isn't sick.
Mild symptoms, apparently. And Idris Elba. He had no symptoms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do like Idris, though.
Idris Elba. Yeah. I really want him to be the next James Bond, to be honest. But then I don't like James Bond, so I probably wouldn't be that first.
Do you not like James? Why do you not like James Bond?
I don't dislike it, but I'm not really mad for it.
Have you read the books? No, of course you haven't read the books. No, I didn't think so.
No.
Not that generation. Next question.
Last question. Have you heard any good conspiracy theories about coronavirus?
Oh, fuck off. You're joking. The queen of fucking conspiracy theories.
Okay, well, give me your favourite one.
Oh, no. I wouldn't be able to be eloquent enough to explain them. All I do is watch videos and forward them on to people.
Okay. Nothing about conspiracy theories, nothing to leave us with.
I don't really think... The whole conspiracy theory thing, again, is that just promoting more fear?
I suppose it could be, yeah.
And again, does that then mean that people are out and about in Tesco like fucking zombies, fear to speak to anybody, but really secretly being really resentful within themselves that they can't? I struggle actually, because Colin went to the spa earlier on and they've got shields up, you know.
Oh, yeah, thanks, yeah.
You know, and there's like security officers now in every single supermarket. I don't like the fear thing, but I also don't like resentment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a difficult one. But yeah, if you're on my Facebook, you'll probably see lots of videos.
Fair play. Right, I'm going to let you guys go and enjoy your evening.
You too.
Thank you for being my first. I will. Thank you for being my first coronavirus podcast guest.
Yeah, no problem. It's always a pleasure.
And take it easy and stay safe.
Oh, don't start with that shite. All right, pal. Okay, speak to you soon. Thank you. Bye.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that. It was great to have Nicole on. Great to chat to her on mic. We speak a lot off mic anyway. But yeah, it was great to have that conversation with her. I hope you all enjoyed it. I'm not going to say too much because I spoke for ages at the start, but yeah, thank you all for listening. Please go over to social media and follow me there. So it's Mood Swings Abs on Twitter and Instagram, and 365 Aberdeen on Facebook, but I don't use that so much, so you're best getting me on Instagram or Twitter. I don't have much else to say. You could leave me a review on iTunes or Acast or wherever you're listening. That would be brilliant. You've got no excuses now because you've got so much time. If you have any suggestions for stuff for people you want me to talk to or anything you want me to cover, anything like that, please feel free. Also, in a previous podcast, I said I was up for people sending like sound bites or questions or anything. That all is totally still on the table. Even though I've got guests coming on and stuff, I would love to have like everyone's kind of input, and I could do those in separate episodes or in intros and outros or whatever. I can slot it all in. Not all these episodes are going to be as long as this one. Or I don't plan them all to be anyway. I'm sure that some people might have a little bit less time to chat, so they might be short episodes, so I can always put in stuff, extra stuff in the intros and outros and all that there. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking. Everyone, stay safe in lockdown. Obey the social distancing rules. Obey. And look after yourself whilst you have to stay inside. Look after yourself mentally. Okay, cheers, bye.